Welcome to the Awaken to Wholeness Summit. I'm Vasilit Kaur. Today, we're speaking with a woman who has tapped into the gift of intuitive intelligence and uses it as a guideline for how we share ourselves with the world. Melissa Binkley. Melissa is the CEO and founder of MSB Coaching and Pure Body Love Events. She's also the creator and founder of the Love Society and Intuitive Intelligence Academy. She is an intuitive intelligence trainer, certified master transformation specialist, holistic business mentor, best-selling author, and former holistic health coach. She's a dynamic, inspirational, and intuitive international speaker. Melissa empowers healers, creatives, conscious entrepreneurs, and women to tap into intuitive intelligence and share their purpose and gifts on platforms throughout the world. Known for her ability to transcend limiting beliefs, she uses several techniques that fuse science, whole brain learning, personal development, and the quantum field. In 2014, Melissa developed her own mode of spiritual transformation process called intuitive intelligence that is absolutely changing the way coaches, healers, and speakers connect with their audiences and transform lives through this new healing modality. Through her intuitive speakers training, she's teaching entrepreneurs how to craft dynamic speeches and book engagements worldwide. Melissa, you are really in the world. Literally, like, you're always on the go, speaking everywhere and bringing this incredible work. It's really an honor to have you with us, love. Thank you.
I'm so honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love what you're up to and what's the messages that you're sending to the world.
Yeah, that we are all, you know? And I'm really excited to dive into intuitive intelligence. It's amazing to me how our understanding of intelligence has completely expanded over the years from, you know, IQ to Daniel Goleman with, you know, emotional intelligence. And in the last decade, there's been so much research done on intuitive intelligence. What's happening to that? So I'd love for you to share with us a little bit about how you came into this work as a passion. And what it's all about.
Okay. So I guess the story or how I came into all of this work stems from my own trauma, from my own childhood. I was sexually molested and raped when I was younger. And so in my 20s, I went through the gamut of things that you could do to yourself because of this dismissive self-love. I drugs. Eating disorders, exercise disorders, everything that you could imagine that could happen. I just full force, head in, but I was a perfectionist. So I was a straight A student at Ohio State University with this vision everybody saw from the outside, this perfect person who on the inside was dying. You'd find me in a bathroom with like bite marks up and down my arms. I was mutilating myself. I was really doing some really mean things to myself. And in my late 20s, I had an awakening. It really was. I was at a place where my daughter, at that point, she was about 6 years old. And I just knew I couldn't go on anymore. I had gotten to a place where the drugs had wreaked such a havoc on my body at one point where I had deviated septum and my nose would bleed all the time. But then I had turned it into an exercise disorder and had completely starved myself for several years. And that was supposed to be in the name of, you know, health, but there was no balance. There was nothing. It was every one extreme or the other. It was all that I knew. And so I started to heal my body. First, it was the physical that I needed to heal. And I went into nutrition school and IIN and like all these things to start to understand about the world and the body. And I became into this like sustainable conscious living. And what I started to realize is as I gained weight and as my body got healthy, as I looked in the mirror and I didn't like who I saw. Like I hated myself. I didn't know how to connect into who I was or what was going on in my life. And everything was absolute chaos, absolute chaos. And so finally, I started diving into the spiritual part. I started saying, there's gotta be something that I'm missing. There's something deeper. There's just gotta be a bigger message. And in 2009, I lost everything. My partner that I was living with left, and I was evicted from my apartment. I was living in my car. It was the breakdown before the breakthrough. I had started healing my life at that point. Right. And so like everything that didn't serve me from before had to just be flushed away. And that was at that point was when I started really connecting into this deeper knowledge that existed. I had started studying about spirituality. I had started meditating. I had started doing all of these different things that were giving me glimpses, you know, like glimpses of hope, glimpses of things going on. And then this tragedy of this huge like life breakdown. And I was like, I remember the day with the eviction and just standing there and being like, there's got to be a different way. Like there's something that I'm missing. I can't really figure all of this out. And I got into health coaching and holistic hormone therapy and started just sharing about the body pieces of it as I was still working on healing myself. As I was doing that, I really started to dive into the rest of these pieces. And that was where my whole life changed. So in the last, it's now almost 2017. And in the last 7 years, I have gotten to a place where I've built my business. I've spoken all over the world, 70 some events in the last 2 years. I'm headed to places like India and Bali and, you know, France for retreats, all these beautiful places next year. And it's all based on this knowledge of the intuitive intelligence that I tapped into and created. And so what I was able to find was that I tapped into this ancient, you know, we have this ability. There was a time when we were all able to access the knowledge of the world, of the gods, of everybody that, you know, of everything, source, God, universe, you know, way to say. I heard the expression recently, we are all a cup of God. Well, if we are all a cup of God, then we have everything and all of those pieces of that significance within us right now. The wisdom lies in there. And we have got to learn how to have radical forgiveness to ourselves so that we can step into opening ourselves to that love, to opening ourselves to having that connection and to developing our own intuitive intelligence. So I had to learn how to love myself, love others, love everything and tap into the knowledge. And now I just get direct downloads. Like I'll get information. I was on a call with a client the other day and I'm just sitting there and I'm saying all of these things to her and talking about she's in her 70s and I was like, you're a wise woman, and there's a lot, I'm like, where's this stuff coming from? You know, it's like all these things. She's like, oh yes, that makes sense. This hits. We have that ability to do that. And then so the piece of that intuitive intelligence is that inner knowing. And then the next step or the greater piece of it is using that and using your higher self and using the knowledge of the quantum field to go back and heal pieces of our life, to heal things so that you can actually be different today without thinking about it. So you actually change the pattern, you create the shift. You do that in the quantum field, you go back and do that in time or move forward and you can create the healing so that as you move through life, things just change. And this is that, it's a sacred doorway that we really have that's gonna allow the next generation of love leaders to emerge. Which I believe that's where we're headed, love leaders that are going to share their masterpiece messages.
Yeah, and it's amazing how, you know, these intense experiences in your life have opened up that doorway for you, in a sense. Mm-hmm. It really invited you to start asking those deeper questions, you know, that there's got to be more than this. There's more inside of me, you know, and from that space, it just sort of brought you into this holistic systems way of seeing yourself and the possibilities and the intelligence within you and within everybody, and you know how we can tap into that within ourselves. It's amazing to see you living that, to really like taking that message and taking your story and now inspiring so many lives with this you know, awakening to what's possible within us through intuitive intelligence.
Mm-hmm. You can
take those stories, those things that have happened to us in our lives, that we've experienced, and transform them into something so useful.
Yeah. I think it's one of the most powerful things that we can do.
Yeah, it really is. It's such an invitation. Mm-hmm. You know, I know even when they've done research on when we are accessing that intuitive intelligence within us, that our entire brain is actually illuminated. It will really pick up, you know, so much inside of us.
Yeah.
So let's dive in a little more to what intuitive intelligence actually is. Like you started talking about it, you know, let's get into that a little bit.
So yeah.
Tap into that within us.
So in what I've created and with the intuitive intelligence, and I know that there's wording out there around intuitive intelligence, but what I've specifically done and what we're creating with the Intuitive Intelligence Academy is based in quantum physics and neuroscience and a lot of work from some of the greats that are out there, Carolyn Miss to Bruce Lipton to Greg Braden, and taking we love them all, Louise Hayes, taking all of these pieces of these transformational works and bringing it into alignment in our lives for ourselves, so that we can go out and create a ripple effect. I say, I jokingly, but not jokingly, say, I only want 1 billion of the world. You know, I only need a seventh, 1 billion. But the only way for me to leave a legacy behind of reaching 1 billion people is for me to teach a process and teach others how to go out, so that, you know, you can't heal the world with broken hands. And a lot of us that are healers and light workers and, you know, the new conscious revolution and the crystal children and everybody that are here right now, we are here at this moment in time to heal others, but we have to first heal ourselves. Absolutely. So this process of intuitive intelligence actually allows you to go in and do that healing, do that work, reclaim the parts of you that have been pulled away, shift the story that you have created about your life to create an empowering story. I did this, and so there, a piece of this is it's called, there's seven, what I call seven sacred rituals.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Intelligence. And one of the pieces that I want to share that's coming up for me right now is, I call it gratitude through trauma. And so talking about this shift and how can we heal and how can we see those things. So in 1994, December of 1994, as a matter of fact, I was when I was raped. 13 years later, I drove through my hometown to go to my sister's graduation. And at that time, 13 years ago, so it was 21 years ago that it happened. And then about 8 years later, so 13 years ago, I drove through my town. At that point in time, I was a drug dealer with an eating disorder and, drugs, all sorts of crazy stuff. Hated people. Like, you know, I mean, I didn't hate people. I hated myself. And so, I couldn't be alone. So I surrounded myself with people all of the time. Like it was like this insane, experience of never being alone for years. And when I drove past that place that time, I had this seething anger inside of me. And there was, you know, there was no peace. There was no tranquility. This past March, my daughter ran track at my old high school. And so I flew into Ohio for her track meet. And I drove into the same town again to where she was going to my old high school. And I drove past the exact same spot that I had drove past 13 years earlier. And I actually stopped the car and turned it off. And I put my hands here and I said, thank you. And I truly meant it. I felt this peace. And this overwhelming just gratitude for my life and what had transpired at that moment and in that space, because I had changed the story about what it meant about me and had allowed that piece of my life to create an international business that now works with healing trauma for women around the world. And if I hadn't had that experience, I would never be where I am today. And so it was true gratitude. So true gratitude through trauma. And it was the shift in my mind. It was a choice that I made, because people say, how did you heal from that? How did you do that? It was a choice. And it was stuff that I worked on myself. And it was the processes through intuitive intelligence that helped me to heal. But that's one of the pieces of the sacred rituals. Like when you can see something in your life and actually have real gratitude for that piece of challenge or trauma, you're going to have a story that's going to change the lives of millions.
So how do we do that? Like, you know, for some people they go, how do I say thank you? How does something feel so horrible and traumatic and that does have this ripple effect of, like, for you, look at, you know, look where you went with it before you really found your voice. How do people?
It's literally going back and changing the meaning that you made about the story. So, and that's one of the pieces that I do with the intuitive intelligence, is we go back in time, we go back into, and not necessarily like, I work a lot with sexual trauma victims, but that doesn't mean we necessarily go back to that traumatic experience.
This is the timeline therapy.
Very similar to timeline therapy. Yeah. So a very shamanic journeying, timeline therapy kind of experience where A piece of that is really going back and shifting the meaning that you're making about yourself around that experience, because it's never the event. The event is neutral. It's the meaning that you're making of it that creates your outcome. So we don't care about the event. Screw the event. You know, we want to go into the meaning, and we want to heal the meaning, change the meaning, and therefore create a new outcome. Mm-hmm. And so is it easy? Is it something that everybody can do? Is it? No. I mean, there's still things in my life that I don't have gratitude for. I'm sure, you know, that piece I do. And it's always a process and an unlayering. So it's like, I call it the rose petals, not the onions, but the rose petal. You're pulling off a rose petal here, pulling off another one here. It's an experience of layering that the healing comes from. And not saying that it's easy or that all of a sudden you're just going to be like, oh, I'm so grateful for this shitty shit that happened in my life, you know, but there is a piece of when you can actually have that experience, you're setting yourself free. And the radical forgiveness piece of that, when they're talking about that, is that forgiveness isn't about making somebody else wrong or right or telling them that you forgive them. But the radical forgiveness is coming back to knowing that you are love and perfect on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that healing is forgiving yourself and connecting back into your true nature. Because when you have pain, when you have trauma, you have disconnected from your truth and your source and your true nature.
And there's an inability then to really connect with that deeper inner voice that wants to speak to you.
Yeah.
Because it's covered up with all these different stories, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So these processes that you take people through are really like uncovering, like you're saying, peeling back the rose petals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That there's access to the deeper intelligence that's within us.
Mm-hmm. And one of the simplest ways, I was going to say, the other piece is what I call believing in magic. And so we've come into a place in a society now where everything has to be so, if you don't see it, like, where's your faith? What has happened to faith and magic and manifestation? And us, you know, we're in the realm of magic and manifestation and creating these things, but there's a lot of people in the world that haven't figured that out yet. You know, I believe that we're on the echelon that is like creating the force that's going to create the transformation. And so one of the steps when somebody's stuck in their story or stuck in these things that I talk about is the first thing is to believe in the magic of the universe. Just step outside and look at the bark of a tree for a moment. And how can you not, like, look at the tree right there beside you. How can you not see the magic that exists in our world every day from having that? And, so I tell people, you know, one way to start recognizing this is just look over the last 2 weeks of your life. So just take a moment and like think back in the last 2 weeks and notice what has happened as it has appeared as if by magic, like that just all of a sudden showed up in your life that you weren't expecting or didn't know, and realize that you actually created that, but that there is this magic around that, and really tap into this system of, you know, wonderment that we need to experience, like the wonderment of a child again, of going back into the experience. Yeah,
it is.
Albert Einstein says this. And that's what it's so powerful. And you know,
Einstein say, Melissa. We're having like a little bit of audio. So what did Einstein say?
Albert Einstein said there are only two ways to live your life. One as though nothing is a miracle, and the other as though everything is a miracle. And when that miracle mindset shift will shift everything. If you wake up every day believing in a miracle and believing in experience, then that in itself will start to create the change in the subconscious mind and the healing that comes with being able to have gratitude in your trauma.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love, you know, bringing in that wonderment of the child again, because there is something that happens to us when all this conditioning of society over and over and over about what's reality, that sometimes we do lose touch with the possibilities and the magic and that sense of like seeing things for the first time, you know, and anyone who's spent any time in nature where you just get quiet and you listen, there is no denying a deeper language beyond.
Absolutely.
And Einstein was a real like cheerleader for intuition. You know, he really like, he believed in that. He talked about it. He lived it. You know, he couldn't do anything that he did without tapping that intuitive intelligence within him, right? That divine guidance system.
Yeah, absolutely.
So believing in the magic, seeing the magic. And that's also, that's your first ritual. Claiming this intuitive intelligence within us.
I think that, I think that's the core. So the, you know, the gratitude is the harder one. It's finding gratitude through those things is a different piece of it. But the core is that wonderment and that waking up into believing in the magic every day. And then another piece of it is what I call 3 minutes of peace. And 3 minutes of peace, you know, we all talk about meditation.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of, you know, it's definitely a conversation that everybody's having right now. But one of the conversations that I hear so much is, that's so hard, or I don't know how to do it, or, you know, there's so many different there, you know, or I don't know what I'm doing, or I, you know, the monkey mind. And so I read a book by Dina Proctor one time, and it was Madly Chasing Peace. And, you know, so this is where I kind of got that idea from, that I took, is like 3 minutes of peace is really all that you need. If you can set your alarm for 3 minutes, and whatever that looks like for you, whether it's a chanting a mantra, you know, sitting and sun gazing, grounding on the earth, whatever the technique is that you need that connects you in and brings you into that center space. Use that, and you don't have, doesn't have to be an hour, doesn't have to be 45 minutes. You don't have to sit in a lotus position and have your hips lock up on you. I mean, you know, whatever works for you. And just start with 3 minutes. And I have seen people like, and just breathing, you know, the power of breath in 3 minutes is completely transformational. Not only will it change your mind, but at, you know, coming from the health coaching realm and having so many body issues, it's one of the best and easiest things that I've seen to help, like IBS and body issues and pain. And, you know, I had a client that she worked with me for like a year and a half. And finally, at the end, I was like, she's finally started meditating at the end. She's had back pains for a year, 3 months into doing this 3 minutes of peace. And she's like, my back pain is gone. I mean, it's just.
It's amazing how, you know, our state of mind directly affects, obviously, and our emotional state affects our physical body. I mean, we see this, right? When you feel sad, you cry. Like, there's a physical reaction, and we can control it that way too. So when we come into the breath, when we bring our physical place, you know, our physical body into a state of relaxation, it really centers the mind. And on an energetic level, it completely connects us again to that wonderment.
Yeah.
You even see how all these rituals are really tied into each other too, right?
Oh yeah. They're all what I use to create the shifts in my life and what I've seen clients use. And they're all universal truths. It's not like, this isn't something that we're, that, you know, the techniques and some of the things that I've developed are, you know, a lot of people haven't heard, but this stuff is just basic, really remembering and connecting in and really paying attention to those things. And saying it in a different way that we all are tapped into this knowledge. I mean, it's intuitive intelligence, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you want me to go on? You something?
Yeah, let's dive into all these beautiful rituals.
Okay. And so the next one is what I call charting your course or getting rid of the cursed house. We are in this place where, did you ever read Alice in Wonderland?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, actually, again, to my little 2-year-old.
How awesome. So Alice in Wonderland comes to a fork in the road, and she says, which road do I take? She asks the Cheshire Cat, right? And the Cheshire Cat says, well, where do you want to go? And she says, well, I don't know. And he says, well, then it doesn't matter. Yes. And I think that that's so important, because I get on the phone. I mean, I coach entrepreneurs. One of the things is, you know, besides the intuitive intelligence, is teaching them how to create masterpiece messages. And the first thing I ask them is, well, I want you to see 5 years down the road. So right now it's like 2021. What are you seeing? Where are you? What's happening? You know, what's the vision? Where are you dreaming? And a lot of times I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm like, well, if you don't understand what your why is, where you want to go and what you want to create, not that you can't change it, but if you don't have some sort of idea of where you want to go, then how are you ever going to get there? How are you going to allow the magic that exists in the universe, God, source, all of those things to throw synchronicity and coincidence and, you know, all these things into your life if you don't have any idea of what you want to to feel or be or create. And so,
and I think that's common for a lot of people, Melissa, that, you know, well, sometimes we get caught in that sort of, let's say, a 9-to-5 job or something like that, doing things that we really aren't feeling called for, but we're just getting by.
Yeah.
So we're surviving rather than really living with our
Yep.
So then we have to kind of go back to that stage where we're like asking those initial deep questions, that deep inquiry about, well, what am I passionate about?
Yeah.
What does excite me? Forget about work for a second. Mm-hmm. Where do I feel most alive?
Yeah.
Back to those core questions then. I think in order to chart our course, we have to kind of figure out what that looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I did a course several years ago. It was an online course, and it was called The Art of Living, The Desire Intensive. And it was all about really understanding, you know, what do you desire? And I think that one of the challenges, especially is in this day and age, is we are so afraid to desire because we're not going to get what we want. We don't think we can have what we want. We've been told we can't have it. There's so much other things going on that we, instead of feeling the pain of not getting what we want, we just bury it so deep inside. Like, I'm just going to stuff that down and put it down there. But then, like Brene Brown says, what happens? You end up chandeliering or some other crazy stuff happens in your life. And, you know, you have all this crap that just starts showing up. It's the breakdown. It's like, that's what happened with me. My life was like, it was shooting up from inside of me saying, no, there's something wrong. And so, you know, all these things going on. And so then the universe is like, all right, you're not going to pay attention. Let me just make everything in your life fall apart so that you pay attention. And sometimes that's great. Not everybody wants to be brought to their knees to create shifts and changes. So
totally. Well, sometimes it comes like, you know, a whisper and you listen and you hear it and you follow it. And then sometimes it comes and you don't hear it because you're too busy overstimulating and doing all these things and not paying attention. And then it has to come a little louder and a little louder. And finally it's like, bam, 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 destroy it all, break you down, put you in a space of, well, we mentioned this also in this elsewhere, is positive disintegration, where everything you think that you are and you know and you want falls apart completely. And you're left with sort of a chaos, a dark night of the soul, where you're like, now what do I do? And so now you have no choice but to ask those questions. You have no choice but to take a step in some direction.
Yeah.
And then now the invitation is to take a step in the direction inward.
Yeah, right. And a piece of that is like when you're talking about that fall apart, it was like you have to let go of your whole identity of who you believe you were, grew up. You know, it's a self-identity thing. And that's one of the scariest things to let go of. Is we can let go of some beliefs and we can let go of some habits and some things here, but when you get to the core level of identity,
yes,
and we, you know, the I am, the thing is that we, you know, we have all these statements. I am a mother. I am a teacher. I am
all sub personalities. These little identities that we attach ourselves to so much sometimes that we only see ourselves as that.
Only as that.
Yeah. There are all these other things as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So yes, bringing us back into that space.
Mm-hmm. And so then the next ritual that I feel that is really important is what I call hearing your divine messages. Mm-hmm. And so we all have the ability for intuition. So intuition is within all of us. Intuition is not only our inner gut wisdom and that knowing, but there is a deeper wisdom that comes from our higher self, that comes from our guides, that comes from our angels, that comes from source. There's this knowing and these answers that we can tap into and really connect to. But the thing is that we have stopped listening to it so much. We have really not paid attention to what our intuition and what the divine messages are that are for us. And so I have a lot of people ask me, they're like, well, how do I start doing that again? Like, what's the first step into really understanding how to listen to my messages again? And I learned this the hard way. And so this is, and being in fitness and health and a health coach and things like that, after I came out of my years of drugs, I realized that it was through the body that I could learn how to tap into intuition. And this is the first thing that I would teach people is your body's always telling you something. So if you're in pain, if you're hungry, you know how many people mindlessly eat breakfast and then don't realize 2 hours later that the headache that they have is connected to the food that they ate 2 hours before, you know? Yeah. And so I tell people the first thing to do is, if you have no idea what your intuition is telling you, if you have no idea what your guide, anybody, any of that stuff, and you think it's all woo woo and out there, listen to your physical body first. Start first with hunger. Like, do you know, like me, I don't get hungry like normal people. Like, I don't get the grumblies. I get I get lightheaded and pass out. That's my hunger. So that's how I know, like if I'm hungry, then I know that's what's going on. And so learning to listen to your body and the intuition and the understanding of what's going on with that is the first way to really understanding how to listen to your hearing your divine messages.
That is awesome. I love that you're saying that, Melissa, because it is true. A lot of people have these different ideas of what that means to listen to your intuition. And the body is something that we can all connect to immediately. It's something that we're used to asking questions about. Why am I feeling this? How is that related? And even a yes and a no, we can feel that. Like when we get excited about the possibility of something, or we're like there, we have a physical reaction to a yes or a no to something as well, right?
Yep. And you can even, like you say, you have pain in your left hip. Right. You can even sit down and concentrate and ask that, you know, it's like if you had a mouthpiece and you could talk to me right now, what are you saying? What's going on? Like I do this a lot with like heart-centered things. Like when I have people that have like pains in their chest or something going on. And, you know, a lot of times it's like the message is stop, you know, pay attention to what's going on in your life or, you know, all these things. And so you can really, not only can you hear what the body is telling you through food, but it will literally talk to you and give you messages that and if you just listen and it's very powerful.
What's coming through for me as we're talking about this, you know, is how much we know that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything we've ever read, everything we've ever seen or heard or talked about or experienced, it's all in here. All of it is inside of us. And it may not always be in the forefront of our consciousness. It may not be accessible right now, as you might ask me questions and I'm not really sure, but yeah. Everything is filed away inside. We have this amazing capacity to hold information of all kinds, right? Yeah. Like when something comes up and we may not think we know the answer, but we feel a certain way about it, we have to remember that we're also tapping in not just to what we know, but to all that subconscious mind, all that's in there that we aren't so aware of, but it's in there. And that's why trusting ourselves is such a huge element to this.
Mm-hmm.
And playing with it. It's like, I think I should do this. Well, let me go ahead and do it. Well, what did that feel like? Well, that was the right decision. Or let me, should I do it? I think so. Let me try. Oh, no, that wasn't. So how did that feel? Yeah. And just sort of being like letting life be an experiment for tapping into all that is within us.
Yeah. Yep.
That deep intuition. So I think that that's a great way to talk about it in the sense that that's not woo-woo. Like we can all connect to the subconscious conscious mind, right?
Yep,
there's
exactly.
A lot, there's energetics going on here. But on that level, like we can really understand how there's so much more inside of us than we give ourselves credit for. So
yeah. Absolutely. Love it.
Mm.
I love that connection. And so the next one, the sixth ritual is what I call envisioning the future. And so when we really think about this, we got to understand that the subconscious mind, the mind thinks in pictures. We speak in words, but the mind doesn't think in words. It thinks in pictures. And so anytime we want to create anything in our lives or have something happen, we've got to connect into the vision, the literal visualization and the idea of what we're seeing. And so one of my favorite examples of this is I talk about in May of 2015, I was doing a conference with Dr. John DeMartini. He was in the movie The Secret. And so he was flying in and we were doing a one-day event together. And about 3 weeks before the event, and I had been visualizing the whole event the whole time. Like I had visualized myself in this beautiful blue dress that I didn't own. And, you know, him and I on the stage, like hugging and you know, in a room packed, standing room only. And I'm like, packed room. So 3 weeks before the event, I have like 35 tickets sold and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've promised at least 100 people at this event. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, and I keep visualizing. I'm like, I know this is possible. I know it's going to happen. A week before the event, the ladies that were my stylists show up with the blue dress. Like they had three dresses and one of them was the actual blue dress that I was visualizing. And I was like, oh, this stuff really works, you know? And ticket sales were getting a little bit better. By the day that the event showed up, we had a standing room only, ticket sales at the door, and it was exactly as I had envisioned it in my picture. Now, a piece of this that I want to remember, though, is that it only works if it's in the highest good of all concerned. So I had a client that one time was like, well, I'm trying to do this thing, and I'm working telepathically on having this thing happen and visualize. And I was like, yeah, it's like, you've been working on it a really long time. I'm like, is it in the highest good of all concern? And she's like, well, no. I'm like, well, then it's not going to happen. The universe isn't going to provide you with something that doesn't create that. But using these pictures and creating this visualization, the universe is going to give you either the yes, but not now, or no, something better. And so there, and but you tap into that energetics through this envisioning of the future.
The no, something better just caught me. Because we always think like, I have to have this thing that I'm envisioning. I have to have this thing that I'm envisioning. And how many times in our lives do we set ourselves on something and it doesn't quite go the way we thought? And we're like, I don't understand. Like, I don't, I'm putting everything in place. I'm working my ass off. I'm doing all this stuff. Because maybe in a year from now, there's something completely that you could never have envisioned that is going to come from this not happening. You didn't get the job. You didn't get the job. You thought for sure you were getting that job. You wanted that job. You did everything that you thought you could to put those pieces in place, but it didn't happen. Now you're struggling. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Let that what's going to happen next become what's going to happen next. Bring back that wonderment.
Yeah.
What now can happen because that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I love that you included that element too, you know, now it's something really better.
That's right. It's really showed up in my life because I was so focused. Like, so because of being homeless in 2009 and doing that, I built a business out of fear and ego. And really, like, I was like massive, you know, expansion. And then finally, at the end of 2015, after my last conference, I really took a step back and I was like, I'm building this out of fear and ego. And I need to get rid of, you know, my staff, get rid, do some different things, change some things up, and realize that, you know, the goals that I had set and the things that I wasn't reaching, that was because no, the universe did have something better in store for me. But I was not surrendering to the allowing of it happening because I thought I knew better. I thought I knew that I knew everything, you know? And now, I mean, I would have never expected in 2015, you know, to be doing international events and have a lineup of literally international events all next year, all over the world, and some of the coolest places that I've ever wanted to travel and getting to go. And being able to get to go and do volunteer work in India and, you know, do some things that really tap into my heart with women. Because I was so focused on something else and the universe was like, no, you can't have that. And I was like, but I want it. And then it's like, no. And then it literally, I was like, and it was gone. And it said, because there's something better. But
Better. And you know what the beauty is too? Like, maybe you did know. On the deepest level, everything we're talking about in this, but maybe you just weren't listening because you were so intense on like, I want this thing. And when we get so attached to that idea, we're not really listening anymore. It's like, okay, what else is in there? So you lived it.
You're right. You're so true. That what a great reframe. Cause you're right. I did know. I could felt it. I felt that there was,
There's something else. I still want that thing though. So I'm going to just stay focused on that for now. I know that because I've done that too. And we all can relate to that. And this is why all of the tools that we ever talk about all the time and all the things we know, we're always continuously bringing them back up and working with them.
Yes.
Oh, we never got it, right? We're always getting it. But this is so great because, you know, we can approach it with, you know, such consciousness. And so far we've talked about six of your rituals and they're all such great ways to dive in, and they all kind of relate to the other, and they, you know, they're holding each other's hand and they're giving us some real tools, you know, to practice daily.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. And so the last one, which is the one that I think is the most transformative and the one that is, at least for the people that are, you know, with the people that I really work with, which are the entrepreneurs and the women that are going out to heal the world and the healers and the light workers, is this piece of it is what I believe is going to transform the world. What is the piece that is healing us? And that is the actual sharing of your story, of your masterpiece message. So your life is your masterpiece. And so you've created a masterpiece in your life through the trauma, through the challenges, through the envisioning, all of these things that you've created. And now you have the opportunity to share that message. And whether it's with one person or a million or a billion, that the transformation of opening up to your vulnerability and sharing how you created the transformation in your life will allow others to do it in theirs also. And, I have a lot of people that ask, they're like, well, you know, I don't want to share the dirty stuff. I don't want to share, you know, these things. And I'm like, listen, you think it was, I said the first time, so it was easy for me, eventually, it was easy for me to talk about my sexual assault and the rape and to talk about some of the other, drug things. But last year, 2015, at my conference, it was the first time I ever publicly shared about being a drug dealer. And do you think that being a health coach, holistic hormone therapist, and fitness, spiritual mindset, like all of that, that when I came out to the world that I had been an international drug dealer in my 20s and that I had friends that went to the federal penitentiary, do you think that that felt like it was scary? I was like, but the absolute vulnerability that it opened up with the people in the crowd, teenagers that I've spoken to that have gotten into trouble with drugs, people that were in the crowd that had been in similar situations, like it opened up another world of heal, of layer of healing for people.
Yeah, I can totally see that, Melissa, because it is something that I think a lot of people wouldn't admit that. And it does bring such an open space of vulnerability, but also an invitation to connect on some really deep levels with things that we don't talk about.
Yeah. I did want to talk about a lot of things. I was like, there was a lot of pieces of that. And you know what? And the thing is that the story is for me never end. Like I've been in the last year, and it's not a story I'll talk about now, but it's sometime in the future, going through a leaving a relationship and into another relate, like, you know, I mean, this deeply transformed, I think great relationships are some of the most spiritual transformation awakenings that you can have in your life, you know, and knowing that that's another story. But I know that every piece of, like, I when I work with my clients on creating their masterpiece message and teaching them how to speak from the stage and how to use their message and how to create it into a transformational healing program, like I did with Intuitive Intelligence, when I teach that, you know, part of the process is having them like go into 15 pivotal points in their life. Like go back and look at 15 pivotal things in your life. And then what were the lessons that you learned from that? How did you get through that? What was the piece that allowed you to transform from that thing into where you are now? Because when you know how, and that's your message that you can, and you can teach somebody else how to do that, you're instead of like they talk about Jesus, you know, you teach somebody how to, or you give them fish and they'll eat for a day. You teach them how to fish and they'll, you know, they'll feed themselves for a lifetime. If you teach someone else how to create their own transformation and heal, they'll do it for the rest of their lives.
Yes. And then they'll continue passing on that message. Ripple effect. There's your one. Yeah. But, you know, I'm thinking about this, that, you know, when we share our story, what we're doing is we're opening the door to connection, to relationship. With ourselves, first and foremost, to really deeply connect, we need to know what moves us, how it affects us, what were the lessons that came through, how does that help me grow and evolve in my own journey personally. Mm-hmm. And speak that out and sculpt that message in a way that shares from the heart, you know, that really gets to the point of those lessons, how we can then build relationship with another.
Yeah.
That connection. You know, and I was just sharing this too. I had a great interview with Parashakti on this summit. We were talking about addiction and how the opposite of addiction is connection. Immediately, it's like when we're not feeling connected, we're seeking it everywhere. Everywhere we're seeking it in some way. Mm-hmm. Even sharing our story is an amazing way to connect and heal ourselves on so many.
Yeah. And then I tell people, it's like, and they're like, well, how do you start? With one person. Tell one person. You don't have to tell the world. You don't have to share. But if you can open up to one person and then enough, you know, and whatever that piece is at that time, it's not sharing our story and creating the transformation, creating the ripple effect doesn't mean that you have to be like me who goes and, you know, who speaks in front of thousands of people every year. It can be just one person. That's more than enough. I mean, that in itself, you don't know the impact you have on people. And sometimes you'll never know it, but sometimes you'll have experiences like I've had where 6 years later, I had a client that was when I was in fitness, and, you know, I remember he time 6 years later runs into me at a Whole Foods and he's like, do you remember me? And I'm like, I don't know who you are. Okay. And so I was walking through Whole Foods and this gentleman walks up to me and he's like, do you remember me? And I'm like, I didn't recognize him, didn't know who he was or anything. He's like, I was your client 6 years ago at Crunch, you know, and this whatever, for just a few weeks. And he's like, the things that you said to me impacted my life so much. He's like, I've lost 150 pounds. I've completely changed the way that, you know, my mindset, things like that. And this was just somebody, this was before I was even on a, you know, my path of healing. So you don't have to be, no matter what path you're on or where you're at, you don't realize the impact that you have on somebody's life when you share one thing or, you know, a piece of your story with even just one person. And we all have people out there running around that we have impacted their lives and don't even realize it. And I think that that's another thing that I think is really powerful for people to understand is sharing your story. Even if you don't know that you're creating an impact and shifting people's lives, you are. And so it's necessary for you to be vulnerable and get out there and really find those pieces in your life or those events or those things that happen that will create, will be part of the story that helps you to shift other people.
Oh, yeah. And it's also a beautiful way to connect emotionally with each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, to know that we can cry together, not just laugh and bliss out, right? Not just always, you know, just go have a party, but we can cry together. We can hold each other in that. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, yeah, I love what you're saying. You know, it's true. Like, we create such a ripple effect. Even having a conversation at a restaurant, somebody might overhear that completely shifts their life and you never knew it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we all have a masterpiece message inside of us. And whether that's something that you just share one-to-one or you decide to do what I've done and take my masterpiece, which is intuitive intelligence, and teach it all over the world, or, you know, create and upgrade programs out of it. And now the academy and, you know, and I teach other, other people how to do that same thing, whatever it is, whatever level of your masterpiece message that you're sharing. I truly believe that that is the connection and the healing that comes from that is going to be one of the biggest shifts that we create in the world.
I am so with you. I'm so with you. This incredible work that you're doing. And you also, you know, you said you work with entrepreneurs and you bring them to a space where they can actually tell this story, not just to another person or a small group, but like on a platform.
Yeah.
You're just like that.
Awesome. Fantastic, right?
It's like leaders creating leaders.
Yeah. And that's what it's about. It's like, if you can reach down one person and pull them up and create something, you know, and help them to create that. It's like I'm speaking in India at the Women's Economic Forum in May. And, you know, one of the gifts that they gave me is I get to be on the advisory council, and they've given me the opportunity. I get to pick other speakers to come and speak there. And, you know, I mean, and because of what I do, and I'm seeing so many people over the world, and I've talked, I mean, in the last week alone, I've talked to a couple hundred different people that were all looking to speak at an event next month and here in New York, and, you know, all these types of things. So I get to hear people's stories all the time. I get to help them transform them. I get to see how they turn into transformational works and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's so powerful. I could never have imagined, like I said, you know, that charting my course, would never could have imagined that was where I was going or what I was going to do.
It's amazing. It's so amazing, Melissa. The work that you're doing is really breakthrough. It's so awesome. And we're so blessed to receive some gifts from you as well.
Yeah.
Starting your course is part of our upgrade bonus package. So we get a whole, like, the first module of this course, right?
Yeah. You get the first module of the intuitive intelligence. Yeah. That's some really cool stuff in there.
So. That's a really exciting one. So if anybody's thinking about upgrading, don't think about it. Just do it. Trust that hit, you know, there's so much good stuff in there, including that incredible module from you and a free gift from everybody, which is that 7 rituals, 7 days. So they actually receive these 7 rituals and a whole bunch of beautiful information.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a daily email that you get so you can tap into starting to use the sacred rituals in your own life, and gives you tools to use it. Experiential examples, ways to really start working with it. So that you can start taking those pieces for your own life.
Awesome. Awesome, sister. Thank you so much for the incredible work you're doing and bringing it to us, you know, this intuitive intelligence and how we can really move through these rituals to tap into our own inner voice and the power of our story.
Thank you so much for having me.